All right, guys, we are going to roll into our message. Lord, I just pray that you would help us tonight, lead us to a place of encounter. God, we're hungry to encounter you. I know that in this room there are a number of us that really need to encounter you intimately tonight in freedom. So we ask that you would come, Holy Spirit, and anoint this message. Anoint this time, lead us into a ministry time, a response time, and I pray that no one would leave here tonight without having a profound encounter with you. I pray that a spirit of prophecy would be in this room as well, and we just pray that everything that you intend for us tonight would take place in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so again, I'm free. I don't have to be with my deal. Anyway, so we got to start by reviewing the questions. Question number one is, how long would you have had to follow Jesus around until you saw somebody healed? And the second question is, how long would someone have to follow you around until they saw someone healed? Do you remember the first message we had on this healing thing was, the issue of God's will. The second one we did was the issue of fear. I would say that after the issue of fear tonight, maybe the issue of fear is the biggest issue, but tonight's for me, it's a bigger issue. But the issue of lack of love. I know that Joseph, when he was sharing, why are we not taking risks to love the people in front of us? Could it be tonight that we lack love? And so tonight, that's what we are going to go after. And this is going to be very personal for me because it is probably the area I struggle the most when it comes to releasing the kingdom. All right, so a little bit of a review. We talked about why don't we heal the sick? Why don't we see people healed? Maybe it's that we were ignorant. And we didn't know that we had the authority or the mandate to do it because we were raised in churches that said that God left the planet, left us a book, and we just have to study the book until he comes back. So maybe we were ignorant. It could have been that we had we were in deception or false teaching. Maybe that you were taught that it wasn't God's will to heal people. Maybe you were taught that all the good stuff ended with the death of the apostles. John Wimber used to say, after he was sitting in church, he got saved after he was like a rock guy and he got saved. He after like being in church for 5 or 6 weeks, some of you know this story, he went up to the pastor afterwards and he said, so when are we going to start doing the stuff? And he said, well, what do you mean? When are we going to start doing the stuff? He said, well, I've been here for like 5, 6 weeks. We sing songs. We study this book. But when are we going to start doing the stuff that's mentioned in the Bible? He said, oh, no. The pastor says, we don't do that stuff anymore. He says, are you kidding me? I gave up drugs for this? So anyway, maybe you come from that background, that you have that deception of that false teaching. We talked about unbelief. That was something I talked about last week, the gal in with the walker. You know, maybe we don't have the faith to go after it. And then the big one was the whole issue of fear. Fear of failure or the fear of man? But tonight we're going to highlight this thing of the lack of love. And I can't think of a better picture for love than this little scene we're going to watch. So of all of the scenes that I have seen in The Chosen, of all of them, all season 1, 2, and 3, this is the scene that for me is the most powerful. If you've not seen it, get ready. But I think that this scene of The Chosen captures what we're talking about as much as anything else. I'm hoping and praying that when I hit this button, we're going to have sound, but let's see what goes on.
I know you. Get away from him. Never use it.
This woman believes she is unclean. We remove her.
Please, I don't know if I will touch him. I just need
this woman, please, we can tell you. Not now.
Around you like this, and you're asking who touched you?
We all have.
Someone touched me. I felt that power went out of me.
Whoever touched me, come forward, teacher.
It was me. Just the prince of your garment, only the edge. I promise. You're not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. And I was sick. I was sick with mouth. I bled in the wounds of it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The bloody beast.
My daughter.
Well, no one's
still there
anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know. But it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well. I wish I could stay here longer, but I have business to attend to. Someone else has faith like yours. But I'm so glad that we found each other.
Matthew 14:14 says, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved by compassion for them, and he healed their sick. He was moved by compassion for them, and he healed their sick. I think more than anything, if we want to see people touched with the power of God, we have to get that thing that I've highlighted at the core of our being, that we have to be moved by compassion. That we have to be, like when we see somebody, like today I saw this woman at Cars and Coffee before Joseph and Aubrey got there. And, you know, she's limping around in a boot. And I wasn't even thinking I'm going to preach on healing tonight, but I saw her. And I started speaking with her because she liked my dog, Livy, my daughter's dog, who's becoming my dog. And maybe Vicky's dog. And I said, what happened? Did you have the surgery? She said, yes, but it hasn't fused properly. And I could tell from her accent that she was Middle Eastern. And she said her name is Rula. And I said, oh, you must speak Arabic. And I started speaking to her in Arabic. And I just got her husband laid hands on her, American, and I got to pray for her in Arabic that God would heal her. But when we see somebody in pain, whatever the pain is, are we moved by compassion? Because if we're not, then we're going to ask the God of compassion to touch us in such a way tonight that we wouldn't walk out of here and be the same. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Oh God, I don't know where this love comes from. This love that we're talking about has already been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, then you have access to this love right now. But there's more. So this whole issue of the lack of love is probably my greatest problem. When it comes to the ministry that I want to see happen through my life, the people I interact with, the people I meet, it would be like, I already told you, I know what I'm called to do. I don't have fear. Most of the time I don't have unbelief. I'm not ignorant. So it comes down to this. So 1 John 3:17 says it this way, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need yet closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abideth in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. I have another version that it's called the DOV, the Dave's Ouch version. If anyone has the Holy Spirit inside of them with the mandate and the authority to heal the sick, and sees someone who needs healing, yet closes his heart against him, how can God's love be in that person? So I took 1 John 3:17, and that's talking about giving. That's talking about what the resources that we have. But we have the resource of the kingdom inside of us with the mandate to heal the sick, to set captives free, to deliver the demonized, to preach the gospel. If we're not doing that, and we see somebody who needs it, and we close our heart, how can we say that the love of God is residing in us? So how do we get this love? Well, the first question is by the Holy Spirit. First answer is by the Holy Spirit. We already saw this verse. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So how do we get this love? This was a totally new insight for me this week as I was preparing for this. I saw something I'd never seen before. 1 John 2:4 and 5. Whoever says I know him, but does not keep his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. And all of a sudden a penny dropped. I'm saying, okay, God, this love has been poured out by your Holy Spirit and into our lives as believers. We have access it this way. But if we want to see the love of God perfected in our lives, John says that we have to be those who keep his commandments. Whose commandments? Jesus' commandments. We're not under the old covenant. Whatever Jesus has brought us is what we are under. Now, obviously, tons of what Jesus said was mentioned in the Old Testament. But we follow the commandments of Christ. Right? 1 John 2:15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eye and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So, if we want to keep this commandment, do not love the world, right? We want to see the love of God perfected in us. We have to not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, what is not in him? The love of the Father is not in us if we're in love with the world. Do you see, like, the penny's dropping for me. I'm like, I want more love. And God's saying, stop loving the world. And actually, when we stop loving the world, the love of the Father will actually manifest in us in a greater measure. How about this one, 1 John 5. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. I see here that obedience to God's word, obedience to His commandments, is actually a threshold for how we can enter into moving more in the love of God. There's a lot of Christians out there. They love worship. They fill their lives with, you know, the encounter. They go to church. They feel the Holy Spirit. They fall down on the ground. They soak. But they don't obey God. They're living in disobedience. They're living carnal lives. They're in love with the world. And guess what? It says if you're in love with the world, the love of the Father is not in us. That's pretty radical. More of how we get this love. Because this is where we're going tonight. We want to get more of this love. We have to have more of this love. If we lack love, we need to get more of it. 1 John 4 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us, sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, so also ought we to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. If we are loving each other, then God is abiding with us. If we're not loving one another, what does it say here? Let us love one another. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of Christians out there that say, I love God, but they don't love. Therefore, they actually don't love God. Our love of God, our love for God is actually measured in the level to which we are loving other people. That is the litmus test. I had a dream last night, and I shared it with Natalie, and it was very convicting, because in this dream, there was a child in this dream, and I went up to him, and I was trying to tell him something, and he looked at the guy also in the dream, and he said about me, this guy does not know intimacy. I woke up with that this morning. This guy doesn't know intimacy. And I'm just thinking about this, you know. To the extent that we're not being moved by compassion in our lives for whoever's in front of us, how intimate are we with God? How much do we know the love of God? We say, oh, I know God, I know God, I know God. But if we're not loving people deeply, then it's just words. Let us not do it. What is it? What did that other verse say that we had a minute ago? What does it say? Oh God, where's that one? Was it before? Was I back? Yes. Let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. You know? Oh yeah, I love God. Oh, I love people. Let's not talk about it. In deed and in truth. How else do we get this love? 1 John 4, 16 through 21. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love, And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. By this is love perfected in us, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now, as he is, go back to that scene that we just saw of Jesus. As Jesus is, or as he was, so also are we in this world. That woman had not been touched for 12 years. Jesus, in front of all of the religious characters there, the Pharisees looking at him, is he going to violate the law? Of course, she was healed and she was clean. He didn't violate the law. But you could just see she had not been touched in 12 years, as far as we know. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. You know tonight why we want to have encounters with the love of God? Because some of us in this room are fearful. We're facing fear right now, and there is no fear in love. If you are living and abiding in the love of God, you are living a fear-free life. Fear from finances, fear from the future, fear from whatever it is that you're facing right now, there is no fear in love. So if you're fearful, you're not in love. Do not leave here tonight without getting in love and getting prayer that you would walk out of here in love, because if you get in love, the fear goes. Because perfect love casts out fear. It drives it out. It's like spiritual warfare. Who is perfect love? Jesus. God is love, right? We know that up there above. God is love. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Now, this is an amazing little expression. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. That seems to be saying that there's a place that we can get in God where we get perfected in love. I'm not there. I had a little moment. I was driving up. You saw the scars on my face. I was going skiing yesterday, and I needed to get up there because it was the only ski resort open in Southern California, at least you can get to. Some are open, but you can't get there. Anyway, so I knew I had to get up there. It was going to be crowded. There's a single road, and I'm driving, and it's, 4:30 in the morning, and I'm on the 57, and I see a guy off to the side of the road, and his car's broken down. And I drove by him because I figured he had a car, and he'd already called AAA. But I'm sitting there thinking, what would Jesus have done? Should I stop my car? Now, the fact is, I don't know how to do anything. I could help change a tire. I don't know how to fix a car. Hey, do you need... Whatever. I get it. Unfortunately, we live in a day and an age now where we just assume that somebody has a phone and they've called somebody, which is most of the time probably true. But I had that thought. I'm more interested in getting in the front of the line, up the mountain, than stopping to see... Anyway.
Well, did you at least pray for him?
I didn't. I didn't stop my car on the freeway.
Yes,
I prayed, but okay. Let us not love in word and deed, but in truth, indeed in truth. Anyway, I'm not condemning myself. I'm just being honest. All right. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. I wanted to get us quickly to a time where we can minister to one another. There's three things I wanted to say in terms of the response. This is a short message because my expectation tonight is that we are going to encounter God's love as we continue to worship, as we pray for one another, as people prophesy over one another, that we are going to encounter God's love, and that actually if we have a lack of love, if we have a deficit of love in our lives, that we're going to leave here tonight full. We're going to leave here overflowing, so that when we meet somebody tomorrow or the next day, we are going to actually be moved by compassion. I want to be moved by compassion. I don't want to be moved by the fact that, well, I'm just obeying God. I'm supposed to do this. Oh, I've got to, I'm pastoring a church and I need to be a good example, so I'm going to do this. I don't want any of that to be what motivates me. I want to be motivated by love. I want to be moved by compassion for people. And I know that the only way that that's going to happen is, how do we get the love of God? It's sown into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have to encounter God in a way, in such a way, you know, we used to call our whole ministry approach fill and spill. You come to church, come to a meeting to be filled. Not like selfish Christians. I'm going to the next meeting, fill. And the next meeting, fill. Oh, I just need another prophetic word. Oh, just touch me, Lord. And they never do any spilling. They never give it away. They're selfish. If that's all you've ever done in the Christian life, guess what you need to do tonight? You need to repent. We go places, oh, I just need another word. We do not need another prophetic word. If God wants to give prophetic words, He does. But guess what? I'm not living out half the prophetic words I've ever gotten. Why would I need another one? You know what happens when I get prophetic words? It's reminders of the ones I'm not obeying right now currently. Right? We don't need to, oh, fill me, Lord, fill me. I just want to get touched. Oh, I just want to soak. I'm sorry. If you're doing that because you're going to spill, then that's great. But if you're just a sponge, a selfish sponge, you need to repent. Because God, guess what? God wants to fill you so that you actually, as He is, so are we in this world. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't come down to the planet and say, hey, I'm just going to hang out in the temple and get filled. I'm going to go out in the wilderness with my Father and get filled. I'm just going to commune with the Holy Spirit and the Father and just get filled. And now I'm going to go back to... Can you imagine He just comes down to the planet to model how to be a selfish sponge? No ministry, no death and resurrection, and we're all going to hell because He was a selfish sponge. No. It said that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And the only thing for some of us that's going to get us doing this stuff is you're going to be compelled by love. Let the love of Christ compel you. But I'm fearful. Good. Let the love of Christ compel you. Perfect love casts out fear. So some of us tonight, we need to realize one of the reasons you're not filled with the love of God is because you're in sin. You're not obeying the commandments. It says if you obey the commandments, you're perfected in love. So guess what? I'm realizing, you know what? I'm not perfected in love. I'm lacking this love. And I guarantee that there's obedience issues. I mean, I went through some of them a little over a week ago with some men. Do nothing with complaining or grumbling. Anybody complain this week? You're not obeying the commandments. You need to repent. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. But every word that comes out of your mouth, it must give grace to those who hear. Did anybody have an unwholesome word come out of their mouth this week? Towards anybody. And just think about the words. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if somebody takes something that's yours, don't demand it back. Just a few reminders of some things that you might need to repent on. You're like, I don't feel like there's any sin in my life. How about pray without ceasing? Are we living a life of abiding prayer, talking to God about everything all the time? Some of you are. Some of us are not. So, tonight, I want us to respond in obedience. If we need to confess anything to somebody else, I mean, I've done some confessing tonight. I oftentimes am not, I see somebody who has a need, I see something in front of me, and I don't do anything about it, and I know that for me, the issue is that I don't love them enough to take a risk. I'm not loving them in that moment. I'm not being like Jesus. As he is, so are we in the world. That's not me at that moment. And I need to repent for not obeying. It says heal the sick. Preach the gospel to all creation, every creature. The second way, the second thing that we're going to do tonight is we're going to encounter. God's love is deposited by the Holy Spirit. Love is from God. There is no other source of love, by the way. He is the fountainhead. All love that is in this world originates in the Trinity. There is no love in this world except now. You're like, well, but Buddhists can love and Hindus. Yeah, everybody on this planet is created in the image and the likeness of God, and they have a capacity to do the things that God does. They were created that way by Yahweh. And the fact that they don't worship Yahweh doesn't mean that they don't have the love of God in their lives in some measure. They're not saved. I'm not talking about that. But their capacity to love, every bit of love in this world originated from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because God is love. Love is from God. So you have an encounter with God tonight, and you will get more love. And then the last thing is we need to make commitments tonight. We need to make commitments. God, I have to be a lover. I have to love people. That people that come into our little church here, that get around our little crew, that they would walk out of there and say, you know what, I didn't understand anything that guy was screaming about and whatever else was going on. But I'll tell you right now, they were loving. You know, Natalie showed me this video this morning about the pastor who dressed up like the homeless guy and he goes to his church. Maybe some of you saw this video. And he wanted to see how his church would react to a homeless guy sitting outside. And it was moving to see these people come up and say, hey, do you need anything? Hey, here's some money. Here's some food. Do you need some water? Here's coffee. How do you take your coffee? Hey, why don't you come inside? We have a space for you inside. He comes into the church. And then he walks up on the stage and takes off the outfit. Huh? I don't know.
I'm not sure he's bald.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great video. Powerful. Yeah. All right.
And the kids are like, come inside.
Oh, I'm crying. It was so beautiful.
Can you send that video?
Yeah.
So it's a miracle because I just did a 30-minute sermon. That's very unusual for me. Yeah. Glory. All right, so let me just pray for us. I'll stop this. And Natalie, could you come up here? I feel like there are people in here tonight that are desperate for God to deliver them and to touch them in their circumstances. And the rest of us, we need more of this love so we can be like Jesus with the woman. So let me just pray. God, lead us by your Holy Spirit right now. And I do think it is a bit of a miracle that I thought I was going to go on and on and on. And 30 minutes, we're landing this plane in terms of what I'm going to say. So Lord, would you lead us? I pray that no one would leave here tonight that has not encountered the love of God in a deep way, in a way that is going to produce fruit that endures. An abiding touch, God, that's going to change the way that we live the rest of our lives. So God, we loved that you poured out the Father's blessing, the love of the Father. We talk about this stuff, but we need that tonight, God. We know that this has to be a work of your Spirit. And so, God, we want to get out of the way and allow you, Holy Spirit, to work. In Jesus' name, amen.